Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
What if you found out today unequivocally that Anthony Davis was paid $1 million?
I definitely believe that he was.
Okay.
He and went on his recruiting visit here with Wayne Blackshear, went to Lexington, tweeted Nike, baby, deleted it, and then committed to Kentucky. There was a Chicago Sun-Times story that said that he had $250,000.
Don't you dare give that article any credit.
Well, what are you talking about? Kentucky threatened to sue. Wait, they said we stand by it.
Have you ever read the article?
Yes.
You haven't read
Merle Coates' book.
You haven't read the article.
Yes, I have read it. It was a decade ago, Drew. It was a headline.
Absolutely not.
It was definitely a headline.
Absolutely not.
It most definitely was a headline.
If it's a headline, then why? The article wasn't even about
that. That's why Kentucky said we were
going to sue you. Well, it was in the article. It was in the article.
It was in the article, but it was also on the headline.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Wow! How about that? Little Drew Diener versus Mark Langenbaker bringing up the Anthony Davis $250,000 payment back from the dead, Jeff.
Now, Strebel, do you believe Blank actually read the article?
Hell, or did he just
read the headline?
You know I don't believe Blank read that article.
I'm not going to let y'all do the sheriff like that. He read it.
Not a chance in five days, Blank. There ain't no way.
He has a perfect memory.
Anthony Davis is a top 75 player in the league 10 years. But he knew that article.
He knew that article. Damn right. Blake's never wrong. All right, let's go ahead. We'll get Kendrick Haskins in. It's a round table, by the way. 4 o'clock hour. Jeff Lightsey with me. James Black producing. Let's go ahead and get our good buddy Kendrick Haskins from Wave 3 and Wave3.com in here today. Kendrick, hello. How are you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm sorry if you hear this motorcycle behind me. I'm driving into work, and this guy's on an extremely loud motorcycle.
Is it one of those crotch rockets?
Yes. It looks like if he fell down to the end of this bike.
Those things scare me to death. I could never ride one of those motorcycles. I could maybe ride a hog, a Harley Davidson with the handlebars. Yeah. Like, that looks more comfortable. That's more my speed. Mm-hmm. I'm not riding one of these, like, Kawasaki motorcycles. No way you won't catch me dead. What about you, Jeff? You're shaking your head down?
Not at all. Not a chance. Not a chance at all.
No. What about you, Kendrick? You ever been on a motorcycle?
No, I need doors and a trunk.
Yeah, I'm with you. We're all on the same page. I'm glad. No daredevils here. Now, Kendrick, I don't know if this happened over the weekend or this happened last week, and I failed to mention it, but you met one of your heroes, which is awesome. I saw this on Instagram. Tell the audience, who did you meet, and how was it meeting him, a boxing icon you met?
I was awesome. I met Sugar Ray Leonard. He was the keynote speaker at their off luncheon last week. I think it was Thursday. So it was after I was on the show with you.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, and so it was very brief. They were rushing him out to the airport, but I was like, I'm getting this picture. And so I got my picture.
And he did the classic. He did the classic hand to the jaw, fist to the jaw, picture. That's awesome, man.
I was surprised by how small he was. I knew he was going to be smaller than me. I didn't think he'd be that much smaller than me. But, yeah, he was great. His speech was great at the luncheon. It was a good time.
Sugar Ray Leonard, man, that's awesome, Kendrick. Well, congratulations to you. That's really cool. How did the luncheon go? How's the Derby prep going? We're now a week away from Derby week. This time next week, we might be out the track. Who knows? How's all the Derby prep going, Kendrick? Are you guys, you feel like you're ready for Derby 150? It's going to be insane around here, man.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. We're not quite ready yet. You know, we're still in the process of getting all the videos, putting stories together for our epic long Oaks and Derby Day coverage. And so, but it's coming along. It's great because I don't know if y'all have seen a lot of those Derby history stories that John Bowl has been doing.
Yeah.
They've been fantastic. Well, the great thing is the guy that's editing them, Mark Wilson, he's usually the photographer I take with me when I go on the road. He has been editing them in our office. And so I'm seeing them being made. I mean, and he's done a phenomenal job. Of course, Bowl has been awesome at writing everything, but Mark has done a great job of editing everything. I wanted to give him his props because he is a super talented guy that we have that most people won't know who he is, but he's done an excellent job with it.
It's all the people behind the scenes, Kendrick. Those are the people that are doing all the hard work and everything, so props to them. I know there's going to be a lot going on. We'll ask more about the Derby next week, Kendrick, but I know what kind of time of year it is for people that work in TV, and you're getting ready to hit the tsunami, and it's going to be nonstop. So Godspeed to you, Kendrick. That's next weekend. You're not going to have much sleep, I would guarantee it.
I haven't had much sleep since about January.
Well, at least you'd have to cover. At least you'd have to follow teams around during the tournament. At least you'd have to go do that. You got to stay
very
close to home.
Trips,
yeah, very brief trips.
Between me and you, thank goodness.
Yeah. right.
Nobody, I was happy.
Kendrick Haskins with us, Wave 3, wave3.com. So, Kendrick, now that the dust is kind of settling, at least with the coaching hires, both Mark Pope and Pat Kelsey trying to assemble rosters. What have been your early takeaways? We'll start with Pat Kelsey. I mean, he got a player last week, got a player early this week, now adds to his roster. And Jeff, would you say they had five people on the roster now?
Six total, but five that can play. You know, the one guy's
Ali Khalifa, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's redshirting. But I mean, it's not just Pat Kelsey. He's not just getting mid-major guys. I mean, he has a guy from Washington. He has a guy on his team from
Colorado.
Mm-hmm. I mean, two Pac-12 players, and then the BYU player, Ali Khalifa. I mean, it seems like he's hitting the ground running, doing things that Kenny Payne found it difficult to do when he was at Louisville.
Well, yeah, but I think a lot of people do forget that Kenny Payne did have a top 10 class last year.
That is true, yes. That is true.
Every time I see that PK gets a commit, and I see people say, well, Kenny Payne never did it. I'm like, well, actually he did.
Yeah, but you're right.
Just two of them couldn't play. Well, one left for Australia.
Right. It's been kind of sport around to just keep throwing dirt on this man's grave. And so I'm like, dude's gone. Why are you still worried about Kenny Payne? But he's gone. I mean, get over it. It's over. Calm down. But to say it, and then also, like I said, the recruiting aspect really wasn't the issue. That was my kind of issue with how the season was going. I was like, okay, these guys are talented. I mean, Brendan Huntley Hatfield was, what, a four-star coming out of high school?
Five-star.
Five-star. Sky Clark was like a four- or five-star coming out of high school. I mean, they had the stars behind them. So, yeah, you couldn't use the excuse of, oh, they don't have the players. Actually, they kind of did.
So, yeah. And As Jeff pointed out yesterday, Kendrick, Brandon Huntley Hatfield and Mike James ended up at NC State. I mean, coming off of Final Four. And then Jeff, where'd some of the other guys?
Curtis Williams went to Georgetown. JJ's at DePaul. Sky went to UCLA. Like, all these guys are going high.
They're going
major
to good
places,
high major places, Kendrick.
Right. I mean, the only one who went to a school that's not that great, even though they're rebuilding, is JJ going to DePaul. But it's still a good program that has a great past. And so, like, yeah, they all dispersed. It's not like they all left and went to JUCO or went to mid-majors. They all pretty much, for the most part, have gone to other major colleges. And so, and it was funny to see Kevin Keats getting these UofL guys.
Yeah. I'm sure he's very happy about that. Patino particularly has to be proud of Kevin Keats. Now, the other end of it is Mark Pope. Obviously, he started a little later than Pat Kelsey. But so far, Kendrick, not a lot of guys to speak of. He did lock up Amari Williams this weekend. He's a transfer from Drexel. Seems like a defensive player. took him out to Keeneland. I do have to say, Kendrick, that that Mark Pope is dealing with a different kind of recruiting base now, where he's able to take players to places like Keeneland and maybe even the Kentucky Derby, where that's really not the scene out there in Provo, Utah. So Mark Pope might have some some extra weaponry when it comes to recruiting players and convincing them to stay in Lexington.
Yeah, slightly different scenery indeed.
Yeah, not many sundresses in Provo.
Right. Well, it might be, but, you know.
It's a little different.
You can look. Yeah, you can only look. But, I mean, it just shows that, you know, to me it proves why UK had to go ahead and pull the trigger and not wait on Billy Donovan, because you're just, like, comparing the two between PK and Mark Pope. PK's is – those 2 weeks made a whole lot of difference on the recruiting trail.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you could not wait another week for Billy Donovan. And then if he said no, or if they'd have messed around and actually made the playoffs, then you're really up a creek. And so that's why they had to go ahead and pull that trigger. And I think he's going to be fine. He's looking at his coaching staff, he's done a great job on his coaching staff recruiting-wise. And so he's going to be fine.
So do you think that leads me to this question? I mean, Mark Pope was always going to be there for Mitch Barnhart, for Kentucky. Now that we know, and again, hindsight's always 20/20. You know, Billy Donovan didn't make it into the playoffs. He is now on summer vacation. Is that something that maybe would have been worth waiting for with the fact that, again, Mark Pope was going to say yes no matter what? Do you think that Mitch Barnhart panicked and maybe should have stuck it out with Billy Donovan to see where he would go with from there? Or do you think he went ahead and made the right decision by saying, okay, you know what, Mark Pope's the guy, he wants to be here, let's go ahead and move on him?
Yeah, I think he made the right decision. I'm gonna say, because there's also the part that he could easily say no. He's been saying no for 15 years. So if you wait on him and he says no, then what? I mean, and then you're three weeks behind recruiting against your major rival. So, no, I think they made the right call and go ahead and pull the trigger.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. I mean, and it's already kind of having an effect, you know, on a Kentucky fan like myself. You know, Jeff over there already has, like you said, five players on his roster. He's, you know, he's a Cards fan, and I'm sitting there watching them land players. I'm like, okay, when are we going to get some guys? When do we get some guys? And that would have been prolonged. And it also adds to the fact that, you know, next Wednesday is the final day to enter the transfer portal. Now, it's not the finalization of the transfer portal. That's still May 29th. But at least Mark Pope already has a jump on targeting guys and trying to see, okay, these are the guys that I want on my roster. Let's try to go out and get them.
Right. And I said May 29th is coming up pretty fast.
Yeah, it is. So,
not fast enough for me, but
no, it is coming up fast. Absolutely. Kendrick Haskins joining us, wave3.com, and obviously on their TV every night as well. Now, when it comes to the transfer portal and everything as far as that's concerned, how difficult has it been, you know, for you on the outside looking in, not being a Louisville fan or a Kentucky fan, but just seeing fans have to recalibrate, like myself, expectations on the types of players that they're going to get? I mean, it's not going to be Rob Dillingham and Reed Shepherd and DJ Wagner this time around. Or even for Louisville fans, like you mentioned, they had a top 10 class. You had Trenton Flowers was a big part of that. Dennis Evans was a five-star. I mean, we're starting to have to retrain our brains on expectations of who's going to play for us next season.
I think it's a bigger adjustment for Kentucky fans because you're so used to getting top five classes. And so for Kentucky fans, I think it's a bigger adjustment than for Louisville fans. But again, like I said earlier, Louisville was getting those types of classes. It's just everybody throwing dirt on Kenny Payne's grave is sport around here now. And so we're going to act like he didn't bring in anybody when clearly he did. Now, on the other side of that, there wasn't anybody signed to the class this year coming in. So if you want to go that route, okay. But to say he wasn't bringing in talent, yeah, he was. He just didn't do a good job of coaching that talent.
Yeah, I think that's the key there. I think that's the key. Would you make of him rejoining John Calipari for $900,000 in Arkansas?
I was actually stunned by that because I'm like, you got all this money coming in to not do anything. Why would you go do something?
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, Kendrick, that's the highest – the highest amount they've ever paid for an assistant coach at Arkansas. That's crazy.
Right, and granted, it's good money, but
sure,
still, he's still getting paid more from U of L than he is for that job. So, I thought he was going to at least take a year, maybe two off, and then maybe get back into it. But I guess Cal calls with Jerry Jones or Walmart or Tyson Chicken money, then it's hard to turn it down.
Instead of just giving it away. I mean, yeah, you can go 12-52, but here's the highest assistant salary ever in Arkansas history. Hey, why not? I ain't right. mad at Kenny. Hey, double dip.
Yeah, you know, yeah, get absolutely.
2.5 from Louisville, get your 900K from Arkansas, and live great. And let Cal do all the work.
He's made more money from 12 games than anybody in the history of
the You're damn right. Now, I know you're an NBA guy, Kendrick. I know you've been watching the playoffs. You've been locked in. Who do you like so far? What's the series that you've enjoyed the most so far? And then what team do you think's rising above the other teams in the West and in the East?
I'm telling you, this NBA playoffs every year it about kills me right here because it starts right here before Derby.
Yes, it does.
Trying to stay up watching these West Coast games, have to be out at the track at 7 a.m. And I don't know if you realize this, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. So
you and me both.
Right. So I've really been intrigued by this Minnesota Phoenix series just because I thought Phoenix would have a better showing, and I feel like they might get swept because they have no answers for anything that Minnesota is doing, and it's surprising. Bradley Beal's a shell of himself, and they clearly overpaid for him, and he's got a no trade clause, so they're kind of stuck with Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
And then Ant-Man is coming, and we've been saying it for a couple of years now. But that man is coming, and
he's good.
I think this is going to be his breakout playoff. And then I'm intrigued by the Nuggets-Lakers, just because the Lakers are doing everything they can. They are throwing the kitchen sink at Denver. They can't beat the Nuggets for nothing.
They can't.
Nothing.
And Jeff's a Lakers fan, too, Kendrick.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Watching that comeback was sick, Kendrick. You don't understand me. Up 20, and I still didn't feel good about it. And then the run came, and it was like, I knew this was going to happen. I saw. I don't know.
Yes. Yes, game two. I mean, because, you know, the Lakers, it's never LeBron's fault when they lose. And so after game one, it was D'Angelo Russell's fault.
Yeah.
And so D'Lo shows up. Now it's the referee's fault that you blew a 20-point lead.
Because they didn't call a foul. That wasn't a foul.
That wasn't a foul. Right. Why do we have replay?
Yeah. Right. Never mind that LeBron completely threw somebody to be wide open for the three he missed.
Hey, we ain't going to have a LeBron slander party right now. That's what we're not going to do.
I'm just saying what I see.
You got caught like you see it, Kendrick. That's right.
Hey, that man, he's amazing. I'll just leave it at that.
But it's never. But you're right. It's always somebody else. It's never LeBron.
it was Russell Westbrook's fault.
Right.
And then you look at it. If it wasn't for the play-in tournament, LeBron would have missed the playoffs 4 years in a row.
Yeah, no, that's
nobody talks about that.
That's a good point. Well, Kendrick, man, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. We'll be doing all kinds of derby prep, and heck, we might even see you out there at the track. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you might see me with toothpicks in my eyes, keeping my eyes open.
You gotta do something. Appreciate it, Kendrick. Thank you, man. Take care. All right, Kendrick Haskins, wave3.com. There you go.
Now, Strebel, we were talking about derby. Are you a hat guy? Like, do you wear I've seen you wear hats before.
Wear hats,
like, do you
wear
so Oneness is a boutique here in Louisville. They collab with 47, like New Era, to make some derby style hats. I want to just show you what these look like on air. Look how
cool. Oh, those are cool. Whoa, I like these, man. Yeah. These are cool.
Yeah, those are pretty awesome.
Infield veteran.
Yeah.
I like that one. I am an infield veteran. These are nice, Jeff. So who is this?
So it's Oneness. It's a boutique out like Bardstown Road.
Okay.
And they're dropping on Friday at their boutique these hats. And then, like, I think Saturday online.
Right, right. But, I was going to say, it's like I'll probably have to get one of these online. But no, man, these are cool. I like that one. I like the... I like the one with the mint on it, like the mint julep hat. Yeah, that's pretty sharp. Or the one with just the horse. And then, that's got the 47 there on the side, too. Man, these are nice.
Mm-hmm,
like that. So did you retweet this?
Yeah, so I tweeted it out. I'm gonna look at this. There, and it's but it's a really cool collab that they're doing. And, you know, obviously with it being Derby 150, everybody's, you know, putting out their best stuff.
So hell yeah.
It's like, it's really, really cool. And then I just got confirmation that me and Drew Diener are going to do a Twitter Spaces tonight at 7 p.m.
7 p.m. Twitter Spaces. Okay.
With Drew, with all the news that's coming out and it continues. Like, mostly happened yesterday.
But,
you know, he's got some info and some inside info that he's got to tell. So he feels like he's going to drop some bombs on there, some Diener bombs or
Diener
whatever.
Diener bombs. Yeah. All right. I'm going to try to tune in then.
It'll be interesting. It'll be fun.
There it is. One. I got it right here. I'm going to retweet it myself here for you, Jeff. There we go. So those Derby lids, they do look pretty. They look pretty fire. So absolutely retweeted that there. Sneaker Boutique. All right, there we go. Now, last thing, I'm going to follow this too. I just saw a tweet they retweeted that I liked very much. So I can already tell I like these guys.
Yeah.
one last thing. So Diener said something this morning and I didn't get to hear it. I just saw the tweet. And let me go find the Diener tweet so I don't misquote Drew here. Here we go. Drew Diener. Okay. So this caught my eye this morning. Again, I wasn't able to be. Oh, there it is. I'm back. Jeff Lightsey. plenty to discuss at 7 o'clock. Spring cleaning, go cars, Kenny Chesney, checkmate.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it has something to do with some of the exits to the Louisville football team post spring game. And, you know, Drew's the guy to know.
No, he
knows.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's the guy to know. And not so much blank.
No, Blake's on the outside. He's on the outside looking in. Drew took it over. He shoved him over. He doesn't have the Satterfield smile anymore. He's got the Jeff Brom brow furrow. That's when he furrows his brow. Oh, Brom's here. Ooh, that's not Gunter Brewer. That's Brady Brom. No. I'm kidding, Blake. All right, so Drew tweeted this out earlier this morning. Okay. He said, an update on the NIL, quote, spring break flip. I actually helped flip more than $30,000 from UK to at Go Cards than we initially thought, maybe double. So, do you have any idea what that was about?
So I know what the original thing was. So, the original, when he went on spring break, you know, Drew hangs out with the big wigs.
Oh, we know what he does. So he's got the gold plates.
And he told the story, actually on a Spaces originally, and I think he went on air to tell it, about how he was with some guys that had some money. And, you know, a lot of the business owners, they donate to both UK and U of L.
They do, yes.
Because they have business in Kentucky, so it's good to be in good with both schools. And so he was talking to one of his guys, and he's like, yeah, UK just hit me up. I think I'm going to send them $15,000 for their football team. And this was right after Pat Kelsey had just got announced, and he had his press conference and all that. He was like, oh, have you heard about the new, you know, basketball coach at U of L? He's like, no, I've been busy. I don't know what's happening. He's like, dude, I'm going to show you his press conference. He showed him his press conference. He's like, oh, that guy's, like, really cool.
Yeah.
And you remember, Drew had got Kelsey's number on air. I was with him, actually. And so he had his number. He just shot him a text like, hey, I got a buddy that may be able to help with some NIL stuff. Pat Kelsey calls him on FaceTime, like 5 minutes after Drew sent that message.
Kenny Payne would never.
Never.
We would never.
Yeah, and so he FaceTimes Drew 5 minutes after getting a text, and this guy's like, oh, yeah, you got my money. Like, you got my money. Like, one phone call was like, instead of giving it to old Stoops in the football team, he's like, I'm going to send it over to Pat Kelsey and U of L basketball. And so that's what the whole $15,000 that he thought he flipped. And now he said it, as you read the tweet, he thinks it's actually maybe
$30,000. Like, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. There we go. I kind of thought that was it, but I didn't want to, because I remember him talking about that. But I didn't want to, like, I thought it might be something different. That's why I'm glad that you're here to help me out with that so I don't misspeak and misquote. All right, let's go ahead and read some text here for taking a break and get to Weird Wednesday. I got a little quiz for Jeff Lightsey. I can't wait. Texter, dear Mr. Haskins, we have received your request for the Louisville fan base to forget that Coach Kenny Payne highly damaged the program and constantly disrespected the fan base. Regret to inform you that we will be unable to acquiesce your request. Thank you for your continued interest in and support of the Louisville program. Sincerely, Card Nation. Texter,
they're so right, by the way. It's not happening, Andrew. I know, but it's not going away. No time soon.
No time soon.
Until we at least get to play some basketball. But until before then.
Do you think there'll ever be a time when it's like forgive and forget?
It's hard. I hope there is. But you got to think, Kenny Payne was a champion. He was an alumni, but he did that in the 80s.
It's a long time
ago.
You weren't even alive.
I wasn't alive. And here's the thing. He wasn't just bad. He was the worst ever. He's the worst ever.
Maybe in the history of college basketball.
Division one, big time college basketball.
Just don't limit it to college basketball.
Just ever. Just major college sports. High level major college sports.
There's an argument.
12-52
Yeah.
One conference or two or three conference wins.
Yeah.
In 2 years, because most people don't make it that full second season.
No.
So to get two completely full seasons, it's probably the worst ever.
Yeah.
It's the worst ever. 4-28 and then 8-24 at Louisville basketball.
It's hard to wash that away.
Come on, man.
No, I get it. I'm not going to sit here and argue in favor of Kenny Payne being forgiven. I get it.
What would actually just set it all ablaze, too, was the way he went out the door, too. Like, kind of blaming the fans.
Blaming the fans, blaming the players.
Yeah.
And
people don't forget that.
No.
They don't forget that.
And still not ever releasing, like, any kind of statement.
Mm-mm.
Not like, hey, you know,
I enjoyed my time.
Sorry this didn't work out. I'll always love Louisville. You know, go call. Something along those lines.
Yeah, and I'm mostly just keeping it basketball. All the other stuff didn't help either.
No.
The assistant coaches wearing Nike, getting off the plane, wearing a Jordan hat. All that stuff, too. Like, people haven't forgot that stuff.
Right.
And they never will. They never will.
It added to it. But, no, mm-hmm. I always wondered that if there was ever going to be a place. Texter also, one road win in 2 years. The correct answer, Jeff, was who gives a bleep? Texter, what time is the Twitter space? 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Texter, don't have Twitter. What is the shop's name with the hats? Oneness Boutique.
On Bardstown Road.
Okay, there he is. Please say again where to get the hats. Oneness Boutique, Bardstown Road. Here he is. Here's our good friend Tox. Big Blue Haskins, on point as usual. Yes, it's never Goat James' fault. The Sugar Ray Praise, who, mind you, ran from Hagler, a whole fight and is a sham, one on the cards. Haskins never disappoints.
Hey, we ain't gonna throw slander on Sugar Ray's name either, Tox, but that was funny.
It was funny. Marvelous Marvin Hagler. He was a beast, too.
It's back when the fighters actually fought each other, ran from each other for years. But we can get into boxing.
I'll just say this real quick before we take a break into Weird Wednesday. I grew up in another kind of high watermark in the boxing era, and then it started. So I used to watch a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I used to watch Sugar Ray Leonard. I used to watch Marvin Hagler. I used to watch all those guys. Mike Tyson, obviously, mm-hmm. and then
my dad's a huge boxing fan.
Oh yeah,
my granny were huge.
Beat Buster Douglas is like the biggest upset ever.
Mm-hmm.
Evander Holyfield. Evander Holyfield, George Foreman, his resurgence, and then Riddick Bowe. I mean, he was. I mean, this is when boxing, and then it just started to fail. I'll say this: the Klitschko's ruined the heavyweight division.
Oh yeah,
because they're just defense. The Klitschko brothers ruined the heavyweight division. It was straight up beat people up boxing. Oh man, Roy Jones Jr. Mm-hmm. was a beast. I mean, you had Prince. I forgot his name. He was like a lightweight. He was a beast. I mean, it was awesome.
Did you say Oscar?
Oh, Oscar De La Hoya. No, how can I forget Oscar De La Hoya? You're exactly right. Texter says pay-per-view ruined boxing. Yeah, possibly. I used to watch the HBO, the Showtime boxing specials.
I wouldn't even say pay-per-view because UFC's pay-per-view.
It's true. It's the number one. It continues going up.
It's not going down. Boxing always needed a commissioner because when fighters got to, like, back what you're talking about, the Titans fought each other. Right?
It was Titans.
They didn't avoid each other and fight each other when they were 5 years past their prime. Like, no, they fought each other at our peak, and now because everybody's trying to take the Floyd Mayweather approach.
See, that's why I don't like him. Yeah. He never, like, he fight people past their prime.
Yeah, it's like
100% agree.
And everybody wants to just have that zero next to their name, so they won't fight anybody that's good. And so Floyd, was able to make it the standard. Oh, everybody got to be undefeated to make all the money. Like, no, like, those guys you talk about are still legends. They all have losses.
They all have losses. Yeah,
but guess what?
Muhammad Ali had losses. And he's the greatest of all time.
Exactly, and they were able to rebound and do a rematch or whatever and regain the title. That's like a comeback story. There's no comeback stories in boxing anymore.
No.
Because nobody wants to fight each other.
No,
so that's,
you're right. Yeah, Hearns versus Hagler was epic, too. Absolutely. All right, let's go ahead and take a break on the other end. Weird Wednesday. Have a quiz for Jeff. I can't wait to see where you land on this quiz. I'm excited. I even have, like numbers and, it's going to be fun. We're going to have a really good time. All right, BJ Heating and Cooling is warmed up again. It's going to be in the 80s this weekend. Cannot wait for some warm weather. So if you click on that AC and it's not doing what you wanted to do, blow out cold air, go ahead and give them a call or visit BJHeatCool.com. That's who I use. They put in that awesome Bryant outdoor system on the side of my house. It runs like a dream. Sounds great. Feels great. Absolutely love it. They have those Bryant Douglas equipment. They'll do whatever it takes to make those rooms enjoyable again. They also have the mini splits. They are a locally and family-owned operation celebrating 40 years of serving Kentuckiana. Call the expert that you trust, that I trust, BJHeatCool.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
How about the Utah polygamist?
There's a...
The Utah Mark Popes. Mark's not a polygamist.
Do I do it, Tanner? I had to look this up, but it's evidently it's a Mormon sexual thing. And so they were jokingly calling themselves the Utah Soakers.
You're listening to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Hey, big thanks to Monster Pie for dropping off the pizza and focaccia bread for lunch today. Thank you, Blanket Baker, for picking it up. Head out of Monster Pie's Anchorage location for a unique dining experience. Oh, Phil, thank you, Phil. Sorry, Phil. I'm sorry for giving Blanket Baker credit. He doesn't need any more. I thought what you were doing today, Blake, walking around Churchill Downs like a big shot. They had the camera out. This is what the new paddock looks like. Here's Millionaire's Row. This is the gold-plated toilet seat
that I use. That was dope, though, man. He was giving us some inside look. I was telling him before, because I ran into him as I was walking in. I was like, man, they're aging bourbon up there, and they're doing all kinds of. I was like, ooh, it looks nice.
Yeah, it looks nice. I can't wait for Derby 150. I think I'm going to skip Oaks this year and just do Derby.
Okay.
I think that's what my plan is. But again, thank you to Matzah Pie. Visit their Douglas Loop and Butchertown locations. Stop in and pick up some 1020 craft brews and discover the delicious handmade brick oven pizza. Matzah Pie, thank you very much. Had some during the break. It was delicious. All right, let's go ahead and do it, James. It's Weird Wednesday. We know what happens here. Hit the sounder. Let's go.
Conspiracies, extraterrestrials, the occult. Gather around the lunch table, children. Don't try to get up. He won't let you leave. It's Weird Wednesday with Mr. Strebel.
All right. So if Jeff likes you with me, and as I was saying, you know, before the show, like I always want to know kind of where my guest hosts fall when it comes to this stuff. So I have a list of things here, Jeff. Okay. I'm going to rate you on it, okay?
Okay.
Okay, let's see what you believe in and what you don't believe in. So if there's anything that you haven't heard of, let me know.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a rating between 0 and 3. 0, you don't believe in it at all. 1, maybe you could talk me into it. 2, that sounds pretty convincing. 3, I believe in it 100%.
Gotcha.
Okay, so 0 to 3. Mm-hmm. Okay, 3 being the most. All right, we'll go ahead and start here. Aliens.
2.
Okay, 2. Gotcha. 2. The Anunnaki.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Okay, Anunnaki, they were apparently an ancient group of either aliens or interdimensional beings that set up, this is great, I love this, that set up the Sumerian civilization. They're the first civilization to have like writings, stories, buildings, agriculture, things like that.
Yeah, that's probably a 0.
0, okay, gotcha. Zero. All right, the Nephilim / the Watchers.
Yeah, zero.
Zero, okay. Do you know what they are?
I have no clue.
Okay, so the Watchers were like the angels that God cast out of heaven. Like, they were on Lucifer's side.
Okay.
And they interbreeded with human women and made these, like, giants called Nephilim.
Okay, yes.
Okay,
yes,
that's a zero. All right. Zero. All right, abductions. Like, so you kind of believe in aliens. So, do you think that abductions is aliens take you to outer space or wherever they need to go?
I can see, I could see
might have to talk
like
you
there.
Into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I would have to be, definitely have to see some research, but I could get behind it.
Okay. Sure. Okay, Bigfoot.
Bigfoot, zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
You don't believe in Bigfoot?
Yeah, no.
What about the Loch Ness Monster?
Yeah, no.
Zero.
Yeah, okay. Not either one of those things.
Alternate universes.
Now, that three.
Three.
Wholeheartedly.
Full stop. Okay, I think that's hard. I think science has done enough to where they prove that there might be alternate universes. Okay, gotcha. All right. The Illuminati.
Ooh, okay. So...
Three.
It's probably like a two.
Two?
I don't know. Actually, a three. I definitely believe in it. I just don't believe in it the way that, like, mainstream talks about it. Like, oh, we get these celebrities and everybody just hates Jesus or whatever.
It's right.
Like, nah, but I think there is something.
There's a clandestine group of others that control things behind the scenes.
100%.
Now, do you believe? Okay, so the celebrity portion of it. So, like, Jay-Z and Rihanna, Beyonce and the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Don't believe that?
I'm not crazy about that. I do think there are people that have, like, there are celebrities in high-ranking figures that align themselves with what is called now the Illuminati.
Okay, so, along with politicians.
Yes,
and government. Okay,
exactly.
I'm with you on that. Atlantis.
Atlantan, zero.
Zero, okay. Not the ancient continent of Atlantis. All right. The simulation theory. So the theory that we're actually living in a simulation.
Now, that's probably a zero, but I could want, actually, I'm going to go one.
You know, one
I
on
could
that
go
one?
With a one, yeah.
Okay. The Mandela effect.
Three.
Okay. Wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly.
All right. Last one. Demons.
Three.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. So I'm going to tally up your score. Okay. So here's the ranges. Okay. 0 to 10, skeptic. 11 to 20, outside observer. 21 to 30, believer. 31 to 40, psychedelic mushroom shaman. That's what I leave. All right, so I'm going to tally up your score here. So two, three.
But that last one.
Yeah, it is. I'm definitely three.
Hanging out with Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. Don't tell Ennis. Yeah. Don't tell Ennis.
He was crushed when you didn't believe in Bigfoot, Jeff.
He'll get mad at me. All right, so we have 2, 3, 6, 9, 10, 13, 16. So you're like an outside observer.
Yeah.
You fall in that 11 to 20 range. Where you're an outside observer, so you're kind of like, you're one of these folks that you're interested in it, but it's almost like an entertainment value to some extent for you. It's like, okay, that's interesting.
It's a perfect way to describe it.
Okay, well, very good. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Now I know kind of where Jeff falls. Now James, do you want to take
higher
this?
Than Justin Jeffries, by the way, so.
Yeah, you are a lot higher than Justin Jeffries. Yes, Justin Jeffries is a zero.
He refused to take the test.
I
ain't taking that test.
Yeah, I definitely think there's like other beings and higher beings and all that stuff. Yeah, I don't always think of it the same way that it's publicized massively, but I definitely think there's stuff there. Like, I don't think we're the only beings alive. Like, no, there's other things out there. There's other galaxies. There's other universes. So there's other people probably similar to us.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely out there somewhere. Now, okay, speaking of demons, okay, I want to go ahead and throw this story out there. So there's a story out here that I picked up today, and it's about sleep paralysis. Okay, so have you ever experienced sleep paralysis?
No.
Okay, so that's the phenomenon. This is a real thing. Mm-hmm. It's the phenomenon where you wake up and you're like frozen and you can't move. And a lot of times during these sleep paralysis events, people see like dark figures, like shadowy figures in the corner of the room, or sometimes like what we call an extraterrestrial or whatnot. I've actually experienced this before.
Mm.
And I've only had it happen to me one time. Now, Anna Tarullo, who's on the show with me usually on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, she's had multiple experiences with it. But it did feel like I woke up. And like I could not move.
Wow.
And you're awake and you're aware of being awake, and I just felt like an ominous presence in the room with me. Now, I'm not saying that there was for sure like a demon or something there, but it definitely felt like that. And I had to actually, Jeff, it was wild. I had to think like move your hand. Move your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Move your hand. And eventually I was able to like move my hand, and then the rest of my body, I was able to move that too. Okay. So the title of this article says the following. It says, seeing a demon And I hate when these ads pop up. Go away. Seeing, there it goes. Seeing a demon in your room when you wake up is more common than you think. So this is actually a common occurrence. You wake up and you can't move your body. A shadowy figure looms over you, but it feels too real to be a dream. If you experience this, you might have had a sleep paralysis hallucination. The hallucinations typically happen when someone passes between the state of being asleep in the REM, rapid eye movement stage, and being awake. Okay, so basically, the body is in the sleep phase. So your body's in this REM stage, okay? And you have a lack of muscle control. So when you're asleep, everything shuts down except for like your breathing, your brain activity, and your heart. So, I mean, all those things are still going while your muscles and everything shut down. You're in kind of like a state of paralysis, okay? This is when your eyes pop open. Mentally, you're there. Your body is not. Your body's still in the sleep phase. And I mean, it is an absolutely wild, wild feeling. Because again, your body's like, you can't move. I don't know where the demon stuff comes in.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why there's demons.
Yeah. Not sure about that.
Or why there's the feeling of like an ominous, because most of my dreams, I don't know about you, I'm more of like, I have like good dreams. I have nightmares every once in a while, but it's terrifying. So this is what it says about types of sleep paralysis demons, okay? People with sleep paralysis have shared so many common experiences that the beings they've encountered have been represented similarly in art and literature. The content, this is a quote from a psychology research professor, Chris French. He said the following: the content of the hallucinations experienced during an episode of sleep paralysis can vary enormously, but certain themes tend to occur more often than others. One of these is that of demons, as beautifully illustrated in a famous painting, The Nightmare, by Henry Fuseli. And I'll show you this painting. It's really freaky. Dating back to 1781. In Europe in the Middle Ages, sleep paralysis episodes were commonly interpreted as attacks by, you'll like this, sex-crazed demons who would have their wicked way with their paralyzed, helpless victims. The male demons were referred to as incubi, and the females were known as succubi. Okay, so like that's basically what it is. Okay, and then here's this painting. So this was a 1781 representation, and if you're out there and you're listening, look up The Nightmare, okay, by Henry Fuseli, Fuseli. Okay, it's a truly disturbing a painting, and I'm clicking it. Okay, here it is right here, Jeff. Let me enlarge it for you. Say that, Justin. Enlarge it for you. Okay. It's an oil painting. And this is an artistic, when they couldn't explain sleep paralysis, this is what they leave. So you see there, this woman, she's laying on her back. There's like a demon sitting on her chest. And there's like a very scary horse looking thing in the, I mean, it's a scary looking picture.
It is. And it's very detailed, and it's, yeah, it is interesting.
One of the reasons why the demon is on her chest is because there's a feeling sometimes of the, like, you can't breathe right away when you wake up.
Okay.
That you can't, like, it's hard for you to breathe. That's part of the sleep paralysis because, I mean, you're in this deep sleep and your breathing's regulated, these deep breaths. You wake up and your body's trying to wake up and your breath tries to regulate and go back to normal. And it's like you can't do it.
Yeah.
And so that's why they said, like, there's a demon sitting on your chest. That's why you can't breathe when you're in this phase. Okay, so I thought that was interesting. And now something else, I had a sound here, James. Okay, so I have all these weird theories about the moon, Jeff. I just want you to know that
you're one of those don't think the moon landing happened, right?
I do think it happened. So here's what I have for you. Okay, this is what I believe about the moon. I believe it went to the moon. I believe what we saw on TV in 1969, it wasn't the actual moon landing. I think that was a production, and there was more behind the moon landing, because I do believe there are things on the moon that indicate some type of ancient alien civilization or race or something like that, and they don't want to show that part of it. Yeah. Okay, so apparently the Chinese are going to do some moon investigations on, quote, the dark side of the moon. So here is the director of NASA in front of our government officials explaining what the Chinese are potentially doing and what we aren't going to do. Go ahead, James.
What's the Chinese are doing, you think, on the backside of the moon? Do you have any insights in that?
They are going to have a lander on the far side of the moon, which is the side that's always in dark.
Do you have any insights?
Well, we're not planning to go there.
And why not?
It's always in dark. We don't know what's on the backside of the moon, so we're not planning to go there.
And why not?
It's always in dark.
Okay, so that's it. I mean, he's like, well, we're not gonna go there. We're not gonna go there.
It's always in dark.
His explanation is it's always in dark. So why did the Chinese want to go back there? Why did what do they know? Here's the thing: NASA is so full of crap.
They
are full of it. They have so much information about our origins on this planet. They have some information about what happened in the past on Mars and possibly Venus and the moon specifically. There's stuff on the moon too. There are anomalous like obelisks and other, you know, kind of look like intelligently made structures on the moon. And they say on the other side of the moon, which they call the dark side of the moon, on the other side of the moon, there's even more of it. And I think there's like a secret kind of space race that goes on that, they, again, we're not privy to.
Yes.
We're only privy to what they show us and what they tell us. And
they want us to know.
What they want us to know, exactly. Mm-hmm. But NASA has a lot of, like a deep, dark history of hiding things and a lot of Freemasonry and Illuminati stuff and ritualistic things that they do when they do the space travel and how they name some of their spacecraft and all these other things.
Yeah.
Like I'm not a flat earther. Like I believe the earth is round. Mm-hmm. I believe that we go to space. And one of the reasons why, you know, okay, so if the sun is a sphere, the moon's a sphere, we can see all the planets that surround us and they're all spheres, but we're not. Like, what sense does that make?
Yeah,
I don't that's why that. I can't buy into the flat earth thing.
Yeah. So even with just sticking on the moon.
Yeah.
Because we haven't went to the moon since what, the 70s?
We haven't been back.
And the whole thing, and I think I've heard you talk about this on Weird Wednesdays, is that the technology to do that is lost.
Yeah, they lost it. They don't know. Yeah, they lost it. They don't know where it went. And I've played the sound of NASA, the national officials saying, yeah, we just don't have the technology to do that again. And well, where is it? Oh, we don't know. It got lost. Like, they also lost a bunch of like moon rocks and things. They lost all that too.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's a
once. So you can't sell that to me.
No,
like, there's no way you can sell that to me. Because how in the hell can we do something in the 60s and 70s that we can't do in 2024?
Yeah, with everything.
When we can do everything on our phones.
We have computers in our pockets.
Yeah, literally.
Like
these computers
are more powerful than the NASA's computers that sent them to the moon the first time.
But we can't go back. Yeah, I know so that's when my ears perk up to like, no, there is something there. Like, even if you maybe at first I didn't think that, but when you roll out some BS like that and expect me to believe it, no, there is something there that you're hiding from me.
Yes,
there is something there that you don't want me to know, and there is something there that. Dang, I do want to know now.
Yeah, like, really absolutely. Now. And that's what all this is about. All this is about trying to figure out, you know, who's lying to us and why. Because we're being lied to all the time.
Yes.
I mean, all the time we're being lied to. And that's one of the downsides of social media. I mean, when we talk about TikTok, we talk about at the beginning of the show. The inability to control the information that's being fed on social media.
Yes.
And to control what you see, the advertisements you see, the way they want you to think about politics or whatever the topic is right now. It's all about influence and controlling the hearts and minds. If you can do that, if you can numb everybody to sleep, and then they're not going to ask questions. They'll be like, well, this is just the way it is. Well, it's not just the way it is.
No, it's not.
There's way more to everything than we're seeing. Now, the last thing I'll throw at you here, what do you feel about robots?
As far as what? Like, they're beneficial, but I think they're starting to get a little too, with this AI, a little too powerful. And we're starting to look like with the movies.
Exactly.
We're headed towards that direction.
So there's, I found another article today, and robots terrify me. Now they have Throw Flame unveils robot dog Terminator with flamethrower attached. So it's like, have you ever seen these robot dogs?
Yes, I have.
Okay, they're scary.
They're very
like
scary.
You couldn't, like, if you try to fight it, it's going to kill you. Like,
yeah.
Well, now they attached a flamethrower to its back. Like, I'm watching. Look at this thing crawling around. Look at this, Jeff.
I mean, that is
what this
sick.
Thing's chasing.
I can't imagine
you.
What this.
It's got a flamethrower on its
flamethrower.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, dog.
That's a no.
And black people in our history in this country don't do well with dogs. So it's like, nah, I'm okay.
Robot dog, even worse.
I'm super good on the robot dogs because as soon as something happens to somebody, it's like, oh man, the dog did it. It's like,
it's got laser beams on it too.
Yeah,
look at that, laser beams.
Nah,
it's got laser beams. It's got flashlights. It can hunt you at night.
My phone glitches, but that just won't let me send out a tweet. If a robot dog with a damn flamethrower glitches, I mean, somebody's life. Like,
you're roasted.
Yeah, I'm good.
You're done.
Yeah, I'm super.
That's the thing. It's like, we can't go to the moon, but we can create this.
Yeah.
We can create robot flamethrower dogs. What's the purpose of this damn thing?
Yeah, but
why are they doing this? Yeah. I know. It's control. It's control. But then here it is throwing out flames. Look at that.
Yes.
Look at that crap, man. It's just burning down a forest.
No.
Why?
Yeah, but we can't do what Neil Armstrong did in the 60s.
No, we can't do that.
But we can do them things.
Like, that's a nightmare scene out of the Terminator.
I don't know. Absolutely. Like
that thing's going to be hunting humans.
It will. No, that's exactly what it's going to be.
Yes.
And like you said, if it has an error, it's going to kill somebody.
Yes.
It's going to kill somebody, and it's going to be like, oh, and who's going to take the blame? Oh, man, my bad. The dog took on a mind of its own, but this person lost their life. Like, what was, nah, man.
That's why you'll never catch me in a self-driving car.
Mm-mm. Same with those.
You'll never catch me in a self-driving car. Because, again, that thing, here's one thing that people don't talk about. What if, like, a foreign entity or an enemy can hack into that?
Yeah.
And they can hack into the satellite of the self-driven cars or the robot dogs with flamethrowers and an anarchy ensues.
Absolutely. And the way the AI technology is going, like, that stuff happens. Like, hacks happen all the time.
Yes.
Like very common. The hackers.
We just had one a couple months ago with AT&T.
Yes.
You can't tell me that wasn't a hack.
I mean, it was something.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, every.
Would they say they were, like, updating their system or something like that? Like, no.
Miss me with that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no.
But get the moon technology back.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, no. And like you said, imagine hacking someone's car, hacking one of these robot dogs or one of these robot policemen that they're about to try to roll out.
Yeah.
Stuff. Like, nah, man.
Man,
nah,
I ain't trying to fight RoboCop.
Not at all.
Like, get out of here. Like, I don't want RoboCop. He glitched in the movie, too.
Absolutely.
In RoboCop 2, he glitched.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely did. Now, he turned bad. Look at that. Z-Biscuit, this is what you get on the roundtable, baby. This is the type of hard-hitting news you get on this show.
He can't repeat what I just said, so.
it's offensive. It's offensive what he just said.
No, Jeff just had an all-time line. We'll talk about it during the break. It was an all-time line. I loved it.
I am shocked, Jeff, that you've never experienced sleep paralysis, because it is pretty common. I mean, without the demons. Most of the time, when I've been paralyzed, it's shadows, not demons.
See, shadows, yes. You see the shit. Yeah, exactly. Shadows. What is 100%, James? You see them?
Well, it's just a shadow, but I see those when I'm not paralyzed.
Yeah. But why is the shadow when you are paralyzed?
I
want to
say a different way how
it normal shadow.
I'm not going to say it on air, but I just kind of give myself a joke.
Yeah, and I had to put a 3 on the demons because I met a couple of demons. And stay far away from them. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever been paralyzed when you sleep?
Nah, I ain't had the sleep paralysis yet.
It's
like, you've
wild.
Never been stuck and couldn't move?
Nah.
Like, that's pretty common. Whatever.
I'm not saying it ain't, but it ain't common.
I hope it doesn't happen.
I hope he has it tonight.
No, it's terrible. It's terrifying, James. What are you doing to Jim? He's trying to hang out, talk about Weird Wednesday. I hope you have sleep paralysis, you B-word. All right, let me read some text here. Texter, I'm Gen X, and I will pass on all AI. 100% with you. Texter, makes you wonder what humanity's potential would be if our sole purpose was invoking and there were no limits on budgets and regulations.
Streeble, do you use Siri? Because that's AI.
No, I don't.
Oh, I love Siri. So.
I don't use Siri.
She does everything.
She does everything.
Well, not everything.
Well, yeah, not she can find it online.
You find it online. NASA has went to a lot of places to explore to see what's out there, but we don't go to the backside of the moon because it's dark. GTFO, 100%. Yes, the moon is crazy.
The moon is crazy.
Yeah. The moon is crazy. That sucker is hollow, or at least disturbingly low density. There's like 17 things wrong with that satellite. It doesn't make any sense. 100%. Absolutely. Texter, Zan Payne is shaped like a blueberry. Thank you. Zan Payne shaped like a blueberry. Blank sleep paralysis demon is Kenny Payne. Yes. Does it tell you how to get... Ooh. I got it. No.
Okay.
Does it tell you how to get a succubi to come over asking for a friend? Asking for a friend.
A succubi.
You want a sex demon. Talking about demons, check out the movie Nefarious. Really good demonic possession take. That is a good movie. I did like that. Last one. Texture, being visited by demons is definitely a BBN thing. I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think it's a lot of people. Is Kenny Payne on the dark side of the moon? No, he's in Arkansas.
He is.
All right.
With the Brinks truck.
Yeah.
A couple of them.
Yeah, counting his cash. Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and... Oh, Sofro's had sleep paralysis too. Yeah, there it is. It's very, very common. Very common. Jeffries did text back. He said, "I used to be a zero. Now Streeble has me like Jeff. LOL." All right, let's take a break. On the other end, an article written by Myron Metcalf. Want to check out also top 25 football coaches. Who's on the list? Who isn't on the list? That usually is. Also, Kentucky's hosting a UCLA quarterback. Reggie Bush gets his Heisman Trophy back. And more here on the Roundtable. ESPN 680, 105.7.